Welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley.
And I'm Ashley.
Because
we'll have to switch through the names next time. I'll be you, you be me.
That might be confusing to the listeners.
That'd be fun.
I have a question for you. Tell me, ma'am. Because we've talked about this before, about Southern things that you've heard, like bless your heart, whatever. Have you heard people out there, what do they call the pocket on the front of their shirt?
Oh, I don't know.
You haven't heard that? A what?
A pocket?
A frocket.
A frocket? Why a frocket?
Front pocket.
Oh, I've never heard that. No one's ever said that out here.
Well, apparently it's a Southern thing because, you know, our new youth pastor's from Tennessee. He's from Chattanooga. Yeah.
Nope, never heard it.
He said it to me and I was like, oh, wait, a what? And then I brought it up today and I'm like asking all these guys, I was like, what do you call it? And like one person's like, oh yeah, I've heard that. I think it's a Southern thing.
I think that's more like a family thing, however your family talked and little names that their parents said.
Maybe.
Like how my mom says jeepers creepers all the time, like just little random phrases like that.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like, oh goodness golly. Where'd that come from? Goodness golly, jeepers creepers.
Where'd you get those peepers?
Gosh darn it. Like random stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about though, right? Like, yeah. Does your mom have any little sayings like that where you're like, stop saying that. What is that?
Well, a lot of, no surprise here, some of the things would be like movie quotes.
Yeah.
You know, so like if we would ever say, if anyone would say, and I mean it, the response is always, anybody want a peanut? From Princess Bride. Or if someone fell, they'd be like, I'm all right. I'm all right. That's from It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things, yeah, for sure. Like even today I used one in church. My parents would always say, you don't know what you don't know. And I literally said that today in reference to my own children.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, because...
Do I want to know what you don't know?
Yeah, they were saying... They keep telling us, like, oh, we don't want to go swimming. But I'm like, you always say you don't want to do something, and then we make you do it, and you have fun. Makes no sense.
It's always like that.
Yeah. And they were trying to do that. We went to Water World again. Took my mom.
Oh, fun. Did she like it?
Well, she can only do a couple of rides because if it's, like, too bumpy or whatever, then it'll give her pain. I think she did okay. She did the Lazy River, and she did two rides with us that are, like, the big inner tube ones to in a group together. But that one's kind of bumpy. It's not, like, a smooth slide. And then she was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm like, okay. But, you know, it's funny because the senior pricing for Water World is $13.99 plus tax. Because they know that senior citizens are not going to be getting on all those rides because they can't. It's painful. So
I should get a discount at a lot of places.
I actually saw some people there in wheelchairs. Yeah. I'm not sure they went in anything. But they've got the wave pool, and you can sit in the wave pool. They've got cabanas. I just found out the cabanas are like $300, though, to rent. So, not doing that.
Of course.
But they kept saying, well, we don't want to go. We don't want to do these things. I'm like, we're tired. I'm like, literally, you little people are tired. We literally woke up early, drove an hour and a half back from the mountains to take them to Water World for the day. And they're like, we're tired. I don't want to do any big rides.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I was not like that as a kid. I'd get excited. Yeah. Like, are we there yet, kid? Okay.
my personality at theme parks and stuff like that, be like, oh, what do you want to do next? What do you want to do next? I'm like, whatever. Like, I literally relinquish control.
You're like a go with the flow person.
Yeah. Especially when you have a big group. Like when we went to Legoland and I hadn't been to Legoland before. And my sister-in-law had been a couple times and I just let her lead. I was like, I don't care. You tell me where to go and I'll get on the ride. I mean, the rides aren't that crazy big. They have some new rides at SeaWorld. Did I tell you that?
What do they have?
They've got some roller coasters. Remember back in the day, they had that one that was kind of like a simulation one. And then...
Oh, I don't know. I've never been to SeaWorld.
You've never been to SeaWorld?
No, ma'am.
Well, I feel like I've only been once in fifth or sixth grade and it rained. And then we went a few years ago in Florida and it rained. Like downpour. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. And then this last time we're like, well, because military gets it free once a year. And so this was their last chance for me, I think. If it rained, then I was never going back again.
Took the rain?
It did not rain. But it wasn't as busy as like Disneyland or anything like that. They have like three or four roller coasters now. Like the Manta Ray roller coaster. And
interesting.
They have one that's like, I don't know what it's called, but it literally is just a huge drop.
Like a Supreme Scream type of deal?
Yeah, like it just straight down. But Evan freaking popped a blood vessel in his eye.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. I was like, was your eyes open? Like, what happened to your eye? That's how you know it. Like, once you get a certain age, you just can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, if his vessel in his eye popped, can you imagine me with my aneurysm? Good night.
That's how you know. You're like, oh, doctors weren't kidding. I can't do that.
I always tell Aiden, man, if you ever see me go into a theme park and get on a roller coaster, know that that is my suicide right there. If I'm going out, I'm going out the best way I know how. I'm going to go get on Goliath.
I would think jumping out of a plane would
would
be the way. Because then you have the sky.
No. And it's not as much of a tickle as being thrown to the ground with a roller coaster.
Just throw you. So it was funny because the Manta Ray one, it's got the kind that pull down. The bar pulls down in front of you.
Does it like tilt you forward?
No, but I think it's the kind that like your feet dangle. So
okay.
There was a guy in front of us and he had a water bottle in his pocket and he pulls that down and I'm looking at it and it like pops and starts leaking out water and he doesn't notice. And then when he finally notices, the lady comes by and she's checking, but he doesn't tell her to like, can you lift this up so I can, so he's stuck the whole ride.
The leaky water bottle.
And I'm sure like once it started going fast, it was just like, just like all over his pants.
Gonna say that would make me nervous, the water getting on the track like that. Ugh.
Well, don't say that. We were safe. Like the next one in line.
Well, you're here, so it was fine.
Yeah, I did. We saw some stuff like we caught a dolphin show, we saw some penguins, and they were stinky. Some of them were like just fat old penguins.
Oh, fun.
And I'm like, is this like Happy Feet? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the ones that are like hairy and they're like necks are like, eh. So I'm like, that's a fat penguin. We just need some otter.
One of my favorite kid movies is Surf's Up.
So basically anything that's not Disney are your favorite cartoons. Surf's Up.
Yeah.
The Bee Movie.
Yes.
Oh, man. So what's going on with you this week?
I mean, what's not going on? Therapy.
It's been another week not talking again.
I'm excited. I get to do my driving test on August 9th. Dun, dun, dun.
Drive? Can you touch the pedal?
Yeah. It's my left leg that doesn't work, so I'll be fine.
Okay.
But they just have to make sure, like, vision-wise, and, like, that I can do it with my right arm.
Do you need to get one of those things for your steering wheel to make it easier?
No.
Have you tried it at all yet?
Yeah.
How do you do?
I do good.
But just like in parking lots?
Well, yeah, my apartment complex.
Okay.
But it's scary because, I mean, it's been 6 months and since I've been on the road. Like, it's nerve-wracking for sure. And so I'm going to overthink everything. But yeah, so I'm a little nervous about that, but I'll have freedom again. That's scary. Me with freedom. Ah.
Can you get out of the car on your own?
Yeah.
Can you get the wheelchair yourself?
Honestly, I haven't been using the wheelchair. The only time I need it is if we're going somewhere, like we went to the zoo last week. And Aiden pushed me around in the wheelchair just because it's a lot of like uphill and my legs would have got tired easy. But for the most part, I'm trying to stay out of it as much as possible. Because I'm trying to build that muscle back.
Are you past your only being able to stand for 20 minutes? Are you past that time?
I mean, it's nice to sit down, but I can do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, put it this way. You know how when you're in church and you're doing worship time and you're just like, oh my gosh, is the song almost over so I could sit? That's how I feel when I go
somewhere. Well, that's how I feel like standing in line at theme parks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I'm tired of standing.
Yep.
For sure.
It feels just like that. Thankfully, when I'm at church and we're doing worship, I have Aiden there to hold me up. That's been a lifesaver.
That's good. Has he been going to youth still?
No, just going with me every Sunday.
And it's just you two?
Yeah. Which has been kind of nice. It's like a little bit of a bonding time for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always an exciting message or something that he like is thrilled about, but you know, part of it's hitting there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you got to like take what you can take out of a message.
Right. I'm just proud of him because it's not easy for teenagers to want to go to church. To drag them by their hair, man.
I think that just kind of chalks it up to, you know, life experience too.
Right.
If they really haven't had to hit their own rock bottom yet.
Right.
They don't
see the hope and point.
It's not going to be real to them yet.
Right.
That's what I try to tell, you know, Riley. Like, I know this isn't real for you yet, but it will be.
Yep.
You got to have that foundation.
Yep. And then you'll think back, oh, this is what they were talking about that one time at church.
Yeah. Well, I had that thought today because today's message, he was talking about, we're doing a series like Running on Empty.
Mm-hmm.
And today he was talking about like how people can busy their schedule and that can become an idol for them.
Right.
And you in your own personal life can have an idol of any kind. TV could be an idol.
Are we coughing really big at you?
TV can be an idol. You know, any other kind of thing.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like your typical, you know, drugs and alcohol and whatever.
Right. Social media.
It can
be
anything. Yeah, it could be something you think is harmless, but if that is ruling your life and ruling your world and that's all you think about, you know, like if you're, you know, like money or if you have your own business or if you're working or whatever. And he said something like, there's only room, you have only one throne on your heart or in your heart, only one throne, and it is only meant for Jesus. It is a Jesus-shaped throne. And if you put anything else in that throne, on that throne, I don't know what the correct one is, then you will be destroyed.
Right. sounds a little harsh.
But I mean, I think that as an adult, I have thought about those things because, you know, when you're a kid or younger or whatever, people just spew out Bible verses and you're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, this is what the Bible says, blah, blah, blah. But as I got older, I'm like, it's not what people are telling you what to do. It's almost like it's common sense.
Right.
If I do this, this will happen. It's logic. Mm-hmm. If I go my own way and don't go to church, if I'm not reading the Bible, like if I don't have that mm-hmm. as my, you know, first thing in the morning type of thing, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not praying or if you're not worshiping or anything like that, if you're not doing those things, how do you see your day going? Like how does it lay out? You're stressed, you're worried, you're this. Right. So I feel like if you can just step back, step out of your situation and see it for what it is, it's not just Bible thumping people telling you, well, this is what the Bible says. You have to follow these rules. It's like, no, it's just literally, it is. It is what it is. And that is what I have learned as an adult. If you try, like when I was learning about tithe, when you're growing up, you learn about tithe and you're just like, oh, I have to give 10%. But then as early as, I think it was probably 2018, I had like a epiphany about tithe after a sermon. I was like, oh, wait, tithe is actually spiritual in how it's connected to everything. By you giving it freely, not begrudgingly. It's not, oh, you do your due diligence, you follow mm-hmm. the rules, and you do what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You know, you do this, and then you're blessed. Right. So, I think as an adult, and I mean, hopefully, you know, some teenagers can figure out those concepts, but sometimes it takes time and life lessons to figure that out. And even some adults still don't see it because they want to keep hitting their head against a brick wall, wondering why are things going wrong? Which leads me to, I mean, that's basically what this podcast is about. Where do we stand in our walk with God when things go to hell in a handbasket? Amber, where do you stand when your life is in the toilet?
Girl, let me tell you, it took me a long time, a lot of years to just sit there and realize that when I release everything that I'm going through and put it in God's hands, how much that stress is relieved because you now know that it's no longer your issue to worry about because God says, I've got it. I'm in control of this. Let me have it. It's my plan, my purpose. I've got you. And then the Bible also says he will never fail us. So my faith and my relationship with God has grown so much based off of my struggle and my stress because without him, girl, I can't imagine doing it on my own or trying to figure all these things out. I mean, you've seen it. You've watched mm-hmm. me panic every month, but at the end of it, I'm like, okay, I know it is what it is. Whatever's going to happen is meant to happen. It's in God's control. And I think that that's hard to see, especially when you're a non-believer. When you don't have that relationship with Christ and trying to let go of such serious, scary situations and just put it into basically in their minds, like the abyss, like I'm just going to ignore it, avoid it. But for me, it's mm-hmm. not that. It's more of I know it's in God's hands. It's not in my hands either way. even if there is option mm-hmm. or opportunity, it's still not in my hands. Whatever God wants to happen with my life or my situation, God's going to allow to happen, or he's going to open that door or close that door. And so having faith and strength in that has been a lifesaver.
But can you remember a time when you may have been maybe like angry at God, or like where you're just like, why does God keep doing these things to me? Why does he let this happen? Like, God has not, what has God done for me? Can you?
Right. And it's so crazy that you mentioned that, because literally today at church during worship, it's what I was thinking about. The fact that there has been so many things in my life to where if I didn't have that relationship with him and that complete understanding, that I should be angry and upset and just want to scream. And I'm not going to sit there and lie and say that I'm not upset. Yes, I'm upset, but I also have such an understanding that surpasses all of that, because I know that it's all mm-hmm. his will. It's all his plan. So as angry as I want to be, and maybe on the inside, I find the comfort in knowing that it's his plan no matter what. And I'm going to be honest, like, I've been angry. I'm not angry that what's happened to me has happened to me. I'm just angry that I didn't get the easy life. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I wouldn't have learned what I've learned if I had that easy life, if I didn't have these struggles. I would not be the person that I am today without it. So I'm grateful, and I just kind of have like an understanding that surpasses all of that. Mm-hmm. And I know it's weird, because like, I'll give you a situation. Like, my mom, she injured herself about 10 years ago where she broke her ankle off of her leg. And yeah, there was like no connection. They ended up having to fuse her ankle and give her like someone else's ankle. And she was mad. She was angry with God. She screamed. She shouted. And so for like my mom to see me go through everything that I've been going through, she'll tell me all the time, like, it's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to be angry and frustrated, but I'm not. And so I feel like I'm doing something wrong because I'm not angry at God, because I have this understanding. Like, I know that there's a reason he did what he did and allowed for me to go through what I'm going through for a reason and a purpose. And I guess I just look forward to the future in knowing that there's a bigger plan. And I might not like it right now, but I know that he's here with me through it. So I'm not really angry at God for any of it. It's weird.
Well, I think that like the message today, when you have God as your, you know, sitting on your, on the throne in your heart and of your life.
Right. Right.
You know, you have the fruits of the Spirit. That's what he was saying. You know, patience, love, kindness, etc. I think that you become a little, maybe a little less human in that way. And maybe that's nothing right. wrong with you. It's just you, it's almost like you're enlightened. You know what I mean? Like, you are.
Right, right.
You're up here. Not that you're holier than thou, not that you're goody two shoes, not that, you know, whatever. It's like, you have now right. the ability to step out of your situation and have an understanding and a comprehension, because God has shown himself to you over and over and over and over again. You got your blinders off. And I right. will say that for myself, like, there has been many a times where I've had the blinders on because my fear has taken over, or my anger has taken over, or my grief has taken over, because I've just had unimaginable
right.
things in my life that the human side wants to take over. It's right. You're fighting your flesh. So I think when you, and I'm not going to say, I am not going to sit here and tell you that I am that person that is in the Bible every morning, wakes up praying before I step foot out of the bed. No, I'm going to tell you.
With your coffee cup and your Bible in your lap every morning, you're not that girl.
Well, I mean, I don't even drink coffee. So I'm not going to be on here saying that, you know, that I have all together. No, I am like the rest of everybody else where I pick up my phone the first thing in the morning and I'm checking all my notifications and all that, because you go on autopilot and you have to train yourself to do those things.
Well, on that note, since you bring that up, that we aren't perfect and how, like, people may perceive, just because you have a relationship with Christ, that you're that person, you wake up every morning and go straight to the Bible. Because that is definitely hard to remember, and it shouldn't be, but to remember every morning that the first thing you should do is praise God that you woke up, or that, like, we even are capable of opening our eyes every morning. Like, we don't realize how much of a blessing it is just to wake up each day, and that we should give Him all the glory every moment. But I'll tell you right now, last week was a week for me, just with all the stress and knowing, like, I may not have somewhere to live anymore. I currently don't have a job. Mm-hmm. I have no way to pay the bills. And so, of course, you know, all the stress and natural things come in and you panic for a minute. And it's hard to remind yourself, wait, I'm not in control of this situation. Give it to God. It's His to worry about, not ours to worry about. But I did. I had a break, and it was stress and panic. I had a panic attack last night, and just, you have to remember to give it all to Him, even though it may seem impossible. And, like, how can He get me out of this situation again? How is He going to fix this again? Like, I told my pastor last week, like, he had to remind me, like, Amber, wait, where's your faith? Like, this is not you. What's going on? But it's like, I felt unworthy. Like, I don't deserve help again. Why does He continue to keep helping me? But that's His promise to us, is that He's going to take control, and He's got it, and it's in His hands. And we have to remember that even when we are stressed out, we may not see the picture, but He does. And so you kind of got to take hope and faith in that situation and just know He's not going to fail us. It might not be what we like, don't get me wrong, and we might not always be happy with the situation or the outcome, but it is His plan. And so once you realize that that is His plan and it's His purpose for you, you can kind of start to calm down and relax and just lean back into Him and know that it's His to deal with.
So with that, and I wish that my pastor kind of touched on that today too, because it's like, you kind of have to do the opposite side too, because this is also not permission from God to not do anything. It's not, it's not like, I'll take care of everything and you can just sit there and let it happen. And it's the same with how he was talking today about, you know, not busying your schedule and not working, like not filling your schedules and like saying yes to everybody and yada, yada, yada. But you still have to do things. What was that thing that my mom had said and that you liked it? God can't move a parked car. I mean, really could. He could send it flying, I'm sure. But the point of that saying was that that it's more that by doing, not only seeking help and seeking prayer, because if you're silent in the things that you need, how are people going to know to help you? You know what I mean? Because how many, like, if people didn't know, like, if you never really got involved in the church, no one would ever know that you needed help, and they have helped you a lot, you know?
Absolutely.
So, but also, don't be a victim. Don't be a victim of your circumstances, because you and I know that we could easily be a victim of our circumstances. We didn't have to get up the next day. We could have ended it all, been so depressed that we're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. But God has to work things in you and through you. God's going to use you, even if it's just to help one other person. You know, what if you were, that's it, that's what it is. How about have positive what ifs instead of negative what ifs? You know, what if I get in a car accident and I lose my arm? Or what if my husband divorces me? Or like, what if this, what if this, what if this? Why don't you do positive what ifs?
Right.
Positive what ifs, like, what if I'm going through this so that I know how to help the next person? What if, right, by, like, say, for example, what if we start this podcast and it helps one person in their life? What if it takes on a life of its own and God blesses this podcast and it's lucrative and we're able to use our platform to help others in situations like that you're in? And God opens doors that we didn't even know existed. Have positive what ifs like that in your life. Because then I think that would help your mindset of, well, you got to keep going because there is a purpose for this. Because there's millions of possibilities, absolutely, positive possibilities of why you're going through what you're going through.
Right. I want to touch a little bit on that, like the depression side of that, mm-hmm, and the like soaking in your misery type deal. Like, you and I both easily could be in such a deep depression that and not find a way out. Like, there's days where I'm just like, oh man, what's the point in getting up? I should just sleep all day, just relax. But what keeps me going and pushing through is knowing that there is a purpose and knowing that my story could reach just that one person, or my smile that day could give someone a little bit of hope, mm-hmm, and faith, and seeing me walk and not in my chair anymore. And so that has helped me too, just leaning on that, knowing that there's a purpose for our struggle, mm-hmm, and we might not see it and we might not ever see what that purpose was either, but just knowing that there is a purpose for everything we go through, mm-hmm, just kind of hold on to that and lean into that.
Yeah. I mean, I could just think about, because I did deal with depression in my grief, and it likes to show its face, you know, once a year or so. And I'm not saying that it's easy to, because I know people probably have depression far worse than I do, because mine isn't every day. And I know that feeling, but I know it's temporary. And we've said that before about people depressed and about wanting to end things because it would be easier. But you don't know what's just around the corner for you. You don't know what's going to happen the next day. Yeah, I think that...
Right.
I know it can be stressful.
You just hold on just a little bit longer.
And I know that, you know, we come from completely different situations. I'm not a single mom. I'm not living paycheck to paycheck or worrying about where that money is going to come from. But I am smart. and I can be a vessel for God to use to speak truth into your life.
Right.
Regardless of if I know what it's like, you know, to be in your shoes, and vice versa. You don't know what it's like to have dealt with the things that I have.
Right.
So I think, like, you know, particular people who I'm just kind of thinking of what kind of questions or reactions by what we're saying of what listeners are listening to, what would they be, how would they be reacting? I say, don't be a victim of your situation. There is always a way out of your situation. Sit down, pray about it, and God will reveal it to you. But also, like, if you have people in your life, whether it's one person right. or, you know, like your mom or a one friend that, you know, that you really, if you're a believer, I should say, and you have that one person that you know would pray for you, would give you advice, like, why don't you take the advice? Why do you insist on, like, doing things your way instead of God's way?
And it might not be right away, so don't get discouraged.
Have you done that before? Done it your way? How did it work out for you?
I'm sure I have. I think a lot of people, it didn't.
Can you think of a particular time that you've done it? You're like, I'm going to do it my way.
Getting married at 18. Didn't work out. But because of that and through that, it's brought me where I am today. So there's a lesson in everything we've been through too.
No regrets.
You just got to find that.
You know, like we've talked about before, I don't know if we recorded that particular conversation, but we've talked about it, you know, before about being drawn to each other or different types of personalities like that, where they're just like, you know, they got some moxie. They like, all right, okay, this bad thing happened, but I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to get it done.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit there and sit in the woe is me.
Right.
Because who is that helping? It's not even helping you to sit in the woe is me. And right. I know that stressful situations like yours, we've got a lot of stressful situations surrounding us. How do you particularly deal with, do you deal with certain types of things differently with stress? Like, I'm stressed about going into surgery versus I'm stressed about how I'm going to pay my bills. Like, do you deal with the stress differently depending on the level of intensity of the situation?
I don't think so. I think I deal with it the same.
How do you deal with it?
Letting go and letting God. Honestly, and it took me a long time to come to that though, because I was trying to do it my way.
Yeah,
my way always sounded better because it's what I could see right away instead of trusting the unknown, basically, and giving it to God. But
what type of thing would you do as your way?
My way, let's see, if it were like surgery, I'd be panicking. I'd be asking a billion questions. I'd be Googling the heck out of it.
You didn't recently. Trying to grasp any kind of control you could have.
Any kind of control over the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And then financially, it would be like I would take the next job that was offered to me without going to God and saying, hey, God, is this what's right? Is this what you want for me? I would just take the job because I would see the dollar signs. And in mm-hmm. my head, I would think, okay, we'll be okay if I take this job. For example, I took that bartending job last year up in Michigan. Not only mm-hmm. did it not pay what they promised, but I came back with a broken clavicle and out of work mm-hmm. for 3 months. Had I only waited, this is a true story. Had I only waited 1 month, I would have known that there was going to be something presented to me and I would have been fine regardless had I taken the job or not. God came through financially. And so if I would have just mm-hmm. sat at home and been patient instead of trying to do it my way, I wouldn't have a broken clavicle bone.
Is that one of the times that that you received financial help
from somebody within the church? Yes.
Yeah.
I was just at church volunteering and someone came up to me and handed me a check. And it was just, I was beside myself, like, what on earth? If I had only just sat there and been patient and not panicked and given it to God instead of trying to do it my way, which I knew I did not belong in the bartending scene. I knew I shouldn't have driven all the way up to Michigan to go do something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And look where it got me. in a bigger mess. And that's what happens when we try and do things our way.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the blinders off.
Right.
And you can be like pinpointing, if I would have done this, this is when I went against God and did it my way.
Right.
When God was there, you know, working behind the scenes what I couldn't see.
Yeah.
That's what people forget. God is always, he's always working behind the scenes. He's working when we're sleeping. He's working when we're on vacation.
Yeah.
He's working when we're doing the wrong thing. He's still working. He's still working it out.
Yep.
You know, like, and I wish that it was easier for people to realize that.
It's so crazy to me, even just saying that story out loud, that's kind of like refreshes my memory, especially in the situation and the season I'm in right now, of just knowing, like, God says to rely on him and be patient.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that revelation, because sometimes when you talk it out, then it's like, yeah. Bing! Oh, wait.
Ding.
That happened.
Light went off. Oh, yeah.
When we were
that one time I tried to do it myself.
Mm-hmm. When we were on Elaine's podcast, Imagine Mom, that was when I had another light bulb. I was like, wait a minute. When I had my cancer, it affected my vocal cords, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so something that is my passion and parallel to you not being able to use your hand and do hair.
Right.
Those are our two main foundations of our podcast.
Of who we are. Yeah.
Of who we are now. And all that. So, and it took how many years? I mean, this is only, it's your first stroke or whatever, but that didn't affect you. I think it's just this, just 5 months then. So it's crazy. Life is crazy, dude. I know I have silly ways of dealing with stress.
A little bit.
I binge watch a lot of romantic comedies or read a book. I realize that it's easier for me to read a book than it is for me to do a Bible study. Because I think it's when you have to look at yourself. You have to have self-reflection. With being in the Bible, you have to, you know, and I can lapse in that. That's a true confession. I can lapse in that.
Mm-hmm.
Of just going on with emotions and doing that and throwing myself into something of a distraction. So I don't know if you're the same.
Hello, yeah. Remember when I would clean my house 20 times in one day? Just so that I didn't have to sit and see where my life was going.
It takes, like I said, it takes the retraining of your brain, because where our soul and our heart yearns for that closeness with God, our brain is saying, I'm human, so let's go watch TV, or let's check the phone, let's go party, let's go hang out with friends, let's go, you know, let's do something else, let's sleep in, let's be lazy, let's,
right,
you know, or let's worry, let's... Let's stress. Let's do all these things instead of doing what we actually need in our difficult situations. So right now, we're both in difficult situations again. Yep. Husband just left this morning for, it's about another year for this school in Texas. So it's kind of like a deployment, but not, because he should be able to come and visit periodically, but it's still living apart.
Right.
And already you could tell that the kids, I think their way of dealing with it can be like mine. And like, you get really grumpy and you just lash out and you're like being a psycho freak for no reason. That's how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm. It's scary because it's the unknown.
Yeah, I don't do well with the unknown. But I'm also really worried about driving in snow. Like, I'm hoping it's... like, having to take care of those things. It was very mild last year, and we were able to do it. But having that backup, you know, like, you feel very vulnerable. Right. Like, I get to step into your shoes as a single parent and figuring it out on my own without having that backup support. So, you know... If I can't pick up one kid, like I won't be able to go into work if my kids have a snow delay or if they have no school for snow. I can't go to work.
Right.
You know, or I can't work certain shifts anymore because I don't have, you know, anyone to pick up my kids from school. And then I have my upcoming ultrasound follow-up for this mass on my kidney. So it's a few weeks away, and I, you know, that's always stressful. I don't talk about it a whole lot because I don't want to
feed into the possible negativity.
Well, I just don't like want to put, I don't want to give it the attention, I guess.
Right.
I'd rather, like I said, binge watch romantic comedies and stick my head in the sand and just get through it. But as it gets closer, I'm like, oh crap. I could have life-changing results at this one, you know?
So crazy realizing that you and I are both going through the same exact thing right now.
Mm-hmm. About being a single mom. Well, you're always a single mom.
Well, no, about having a mass on our kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And mine's this month, too. So we're kind of in the same season with that. Mm-hmm. And so it's scary. You don't know.
I think because we've had the stuff before, Any medical thing is stressful and scary.
Yep.
How are you doing with your stress financially? What's the situation? We got 10 minutes. Go.
Oh, man. This mama needs a miracle right now. Because right now it's to the point where there's no job. There's no income. I can't work. I want to work. I so badly want to work. But I just can't. And... well, the car payment's due. The rent is due. So now what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do but pray for a miracle? And put it in God's hands.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it is what it is, and whatever is meant to happen will happen. I mean, we've kind of exhausted all other options. There's not much more to do. Been waiting for Social Security to hit, and it's just not. It's been 2 years of waiting for that to go through. So I think right now I'm just holding on to the hope of knowing that, hey, I've got 2 weeks left and maybe miraculously that could come through. I mean, God's
shown. Or it's something you didn't think of.
Right. But it's like God's shown himself time and time again that he's the one in control. So just kind of got to sit back and say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm along for the ride. I don't like this ride, but let's do this.
Are you like me? Do you like... you put out lists of your pros and cons of like, or how would I feel if this would happen? Or like, you know, like play it out in your head so you can prepare yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't necessarily do lists, but in my head right now.
I was going to say, is that me? You. That I'm just so psycho.
Yeah, you're just a psycho freak. Right now, my thing is like, I'm terrified because you know what my option is. It'll be going back to California. Mm-hmm. And I truly, wholeheartedly do not want to do that. Like, that is my biggest fear in life. How sad is that? My biggest fear in life is living in California.
Do you feel like that's where God wants you?
I don't. And that's the nerve-wracking part is like, I don't feel that pulled to be back in California, but God's also done things in my life where I didn't see that happening either or didn't see the purpose in it. But everything within my life from doctors and medical procedures upcoming, it's like, well, why would God be moving me back to California when everything I need and have going on is here? Like, what's the purpose? So it's kind of like the unknown, like, I just don't know. I don't see it right now. So
yeah,
I'm hoping and praying big time that that's not God's purpose. And that's funny. It's kind of contradicting. Like, I let God do what he's going to do, but I hope that that's not what he's going to do.
Well, it's kind of like with me, you know, before before we moved here, I was like, let it, I don't know where it's going to be, because that's the fun part of the Army is like,
right.
You don't get to choose. You can make your wish list and stuff, but they ultimately are like, here's where we need you. This is where you got to go. And sometimes it's a place we've never been, or in my case, it's a place we've been already.
Right.
And so I just prayed. I was like, let it be a place that's good for, you know, Evan's career. It's good for my career. It's good for our family.
Right.
And then we hear Colorado. Again? Colorado again? But here, look. Now Evan is on his way to the Sergeant Major Academy. I don't necessarily know if that would have happened if we were anywhere else. And I think that he said that his former boss that was here pushed really hard for him to
get in it. Get that opportunity, yeah.
Because we weren't we thought that we were going to retire at his rank, this rank. And that wasn't really a possibility, because when you get higher up, it becomes more about, you know, recommendations and your file and what is needed in the Army and yada, yada, right. yada.
Right.
So it's like a huge, like, lottery, you know? And I think that we've always trusted God with his career and mm-hmm. where it's led. And it's always worked out.
Right.
Number two, we get into this church and we have so much support from our church family than we've ever had. This is the first time that we've both been involved together and made friends. Like, this is the first time that he has had like a small group of guys that, like, church guys. It's always been work guys, and they talk about work.
Right.
And they don't, like, it's not about mentoring. It's not about holding anybody accountable. It's like, you know, let's go fix some tanks. Let's go shoot some guns.
Right.
Have a beer at the end of the day, like, talk about deployment. But it's never been someone that's going to help grow him spiritually.
Right. I was going to say, so you guys have both grown spiritually through this journey and trusting him.
Well, I feel like we have so much support, not just with, just us, but I feel like even through you and through my mom, like, they,
right.
we ask for prayer. They're praying for you. They're praying for my mom. They're praying for whatever we, you know, so you have these extra people that it's like another extension of your family.
Right.
And I don't know what's happening with my career, but maybe we'll find that out in the next year. You know, I mean, I'm still working, still doing music, but then we start this podcast. Is the podcast another? Like, I don't know. I don't know what God's doing, but I haven't performed live in a very long time. But my point is that when you let go like that, you're like, you said, you're like, I don't think Colorado would have been the best thing, but it was. But then on the other hand, I don't see California being good for you or for anyone, to be honest. Specifically the desert and whatnot. But, you know.
See, and that's the scary part. That's what scares the heck out of me is my son. He's doing so well here in Tennessee.
And he's about to start his senior year.
Senior year. He's got a good job. He's got good friends. And, I mean, you know, Liz moved out here. So, like, my other best friend moves out here. And then I got to go. Peace out. Like, okay, God, you've got a sense of humor. Please don't let that be part of it, please.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm terrified. But then you think of the pros, and the only pro I could think is that I'll be around my niece that I've only seen one time. So, I mean, there's that. But I'm, like, digging and digging. Where is another pro? And I can't find it.
Where's the pros?
Where's the pros? I don't see them.
I don't see it. I don't see it. And that wouldn't even be all the time, because they don't live in the desert, right?
No, they don't. They live about an hour away from us. So there's that.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one right now. But again, giving it to God, it's his purpose, his plan.
Yeah. Well, I think basically for listeners, if you guys know of, you know, potential jobs for disabled people. I know there's tons of jobs for disabled veterans. I know that there is. So there has to be something for Amber out there. You know?
I'm telling you, radio DJ host, let's do this. I'm ready.
There's got to be something that was just never, you know, brought to Amber's attention. There's got to be something. So if you know of something, whether it is an actual lucrative opportunity or if there is just, you know, different types of job titles that you know of or have heard of, or if there's an organization or something. Send us a message.
I want to work. I want to do whatever it takes to stay here. So I'm willing.
Amber's a hard worker.
But I will not selfie pics. I'm not doing that one.
I just think that when you take a person who is, you know, willing, somewhat able, like hard worker, who will do what she needs to do, even in her current situation and in her circumstances. So let us know whether it's an email at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com or send us a message on Instagram at uncommonfaithpodcast. And you can find me at ashley.reed or ashleyreedmusic. Where can we find you, Amber?
You can find me at amber_n_g on Instagram. Yeah, we look forward to hearing from you guys. I do have something else because we did touch on depression today. I saw something recently that mm-hmm. the depression hotline or the suicide hotline has changed. It's now 988. Is that correct? The phone number? Yeah, it's 988, I believe. Mm-hmm. Let me double check that before putting it out there.
Oh, instead of a 911?
Yeah, they just changed it recently, so I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, 988 mental health. National suicide. Yes. Well, it's now a 3-digit hotline, just like 911, specifically for mental health, National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Just dial 988.
Or you can always send us an email or a message. We will be praying for you.
That's a job.
That is a job.
Amber, that's a job. Yeah, go. You can be on the phone with headphones. Look at you. I'm looking at you doing it right now.
So, yeah. Thanks for hanging out with me again, Ash.
No problem.
We won't wait so long for the next time.
Yeah.
Next time we record, you'll be here.
No, we record again this week.
Well, next time you and I one-on-one record, it'll be here.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have a fun, positive story.
Maybe that miracle will happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe we'll find it at the Pat Benatar concert. I got a lot of like, oh my gosh, that's so cool from people at church today. The pastor, the lady who does the, she works in the sound booth. She does like the lyric slides and like stuff like that.
Yeah. So she knows.
Yeah. She was like, oh, that, and at the rhyme and oh my gosh. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Finally someone understands.
Yes. So. Yes.
I was going to say, I know my mom's excited.
Yeah. Going to have to, she needs to wear something like 80s rockish. Yeah, right. For
that's
this
her,
show.
That's her daily wear.
Find her some leopard.
She will not wear leopard.
Find her some leopard fringe. I don't know. Leather that jacket.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, thanks again for listening, guys. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. I'm